The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It is it's Tuesday. Why was Wednesday beginning to come out of my mouth? I have no idea. It is Tuesday, and welcome. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Here is my telephone number. Some are going, Bob is really getting old. Hey, listen, ask my wife. I've always been this way, and she is at home going, yes, amen. He's always been nuts. Anyway, thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB. Live. I don't want to get into too much of the politics today. I spent a lot of time in politics yesterday, and I don't enjoy it. Seriously, I really don't. But breaking news, President Biden makes announcement on vaccine push soon. Yeah, the president is once again going to go on TV and take absolute, total, complete, unconditional credit for something he had very, very little to do with. The vaccine was already developed before he was elected president and long before he was inaugurated to be president. The distribution system was basically in place long before he was inaugurated. Has he pursued it and pushed it and maybe even refined it? Yeah. Yeah, and he should probably be given credit for that. But he is not responsible for these vaccines. He is not. What he is responsible for, and he refuses to talk about, is the border crisis. Have you noticed the silence? I mean, we have an absolute national crisis of historic. I'm not prone to exaggeration. Most of you know that. Historic proportions on our southern border, and he's silent. Well, he's silent because he gave that job to Kamala Harris. The vice president's going to take care of it. Not a single news conference, no even prepared statements about the border crisis, and the person who is in charge of meeting this crisis head on hasn't even been to the border. Now, you would think, I don't care if you are a dyed-in-the-wool, loyal-to-the-bone Democrat. You would think by now, even those people would begin saying, what's going on down at the border? And why isn't the president and the vice president dealing with this? I mean, you would think, but... Yeah. All right. We'll move away from that. But anyway, the president is going to make statements. Is he going to have a press conference? No. Oh, no. Is he going to take questions? No, of course not. But he's going to make a statement and brag and boast about all he has done. All right. Now, here are some updates on things we've been looking at. Benjamin Netanyahu is in a fight for his political life. And this is really bizarre, really strange, because he is in the midst of putting together a coalition government after, I think it was the fourth national election in about a year. And he is in the process of trying to put together a coalition government in the Knesset in Israel. While he's trying to do that, his corruption trial has officially begun yesterday. Benjamin Netanyahu is facing charges of bribery, fraud, breach of trust in three separate cases. Benjamin Netanyahu has pled not guilty, and he is calling the charges part of a, quote, witch hunt against him. I've made the point on numerous occasions, the parallels between Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump. Donald Trump was impeached twice, found not guilty in the Senate twice. And I think any reasonable person would agree that what happened here in America really was a witch hunt against Donald Trump simply because they didn't like him. Is it possible that's exactly what's happening in Israel? Possibly. Here's what I desire. Truth. If Netanyahu is guilty, if he is, I hope and pray that that is uncovered, discovered, and proved beyond any shadow of doubt, and the proper legal action is taken against him. If his contention is true, that these are just political enemies digging up things out of whole cloth, then I hope and pray that that is uncovered as well, and the Benjamin Netanyahu is vindicated. Now, just personally, more than anything, I want the truth. But just personally, I am hoping and praying that he is innocent. I think he has been very good for Israel. I think he's been an excellent prime minister. He is a true friend of the United States. There is no doubt about that. And I am hoping that the charges against him are proven to be false. But it's just bizarre that as his corruption trial begins in earnest, at the very same time, he's trying to put together a coalition government. So we'll keep an eye on that. I have no idea how long that trial is going to last. And to be really candid, I don't understand the Israeli judicial system. Just don't. So I don't know. I don't even know the process, understand the process of how this is going to be handled. And anyway, we will certainly keep an eye on it. Franklin Graham has won a wonderful legal victory in Great Britain. Yes, in Great Britain. Back in 2018, Franklin Graham conducted a series of crusades across Great Britain. One of those crusades was in the town of Blackpool, England. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, in order to advertise it, purchased billboards in buses around Blackpool, England. And the ads simply said this, and I quote, "Lancashire Festival of Hope with Franklin Graham, time for hope." That was it. That was the entirety of the ad. Lancashire Festival of Hope with Franklin Graham, time for hope. Well, the Blackpool City Council said, no, we don't want Franklin Graham here. He is divisive. He's offensive. And these ads are offensive. Well, the local representatives for the Billy Graham Crusade and the Franklin Graham Crusade took the city of Blackpool, the Blackpool Council, and Blackpool Transport Services, which is an arm of the city government, took them to court. Well, a United Kingdom judge has handed Franklin Graham and his team a major legal victory. In a 35-page decision, Judge Claire Evans ruled that the Blackpool Council and the Blackpool Transport Services discriminated on the grounds of religion against Graham in relation to its Article 10 rights. The judge said Blackpool's decision was, quote, the antithesis of the manner in which a public authority should behave in a democratic society. This advertisement was inoffensive. It was not obviously religious. It contained nothing but factual information as to the festival. It did not even identify that it was a Christian festival. Only the appending of the name of Franklin Graham and the fact that some people find him and his views offensive made it anything other than innocuous. So they ruled against the city and in favor of Franklin Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Franklin Graham applauded the decision and said, quote, we thank God for this ruling because it is a win for every Christian in the UK. Good for them. Good for a federal judge in Great Britain. Yeah, you know, like we say, sometimes the good guys do win. Now, if you are a white evangelical, did you know that you are the major obstacle of America recovering from COVID? Yeah. Keep listening.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
I thought this had to be a joke. I thought this had to be the Babylon Bee, the onion. And I keep saying this, folks, but it is absolutely true. The truth is becoming stranger than parody. I love parody. I do. A long time ago, we used to have Bob Burney Live parodies. We even put out a parody CD or two, and I don't know, we might dig those out and replay them. It's been a long time since we played any. But I love parodies. I love the Babylon Bee. I love the Onion. But it is getting harder and harder to write parody because the truth is weirder and more bizarre than the parodies. For instance, Portland, Oregon. Okay? Portland, Oregon. Ida B. Wells Barnett High School. What a name. I have no idea who any of these people are. Ida B. Wells Barnett High School for many years has had their mascot as a Trojan. You know, like the USC, University of South Carolina, Trojans. I grew up in Southern California looking at the Trojan. Well, the woke people of Portland decided Trojans are militaristic. They represent aggression. We got to get rid of the Trojan mascot. So, a committee comprised of, quote, students, staff, and community members got together and decided, we got to come up with a new mascot that is not offensive to anybody, anywhere. We got to find something that is absolutely non-offensive. So, after the committee comprised of students, staff, and community members got together, after a great deal of consideration, they came up with an evergreen. Yeah, a tree. Like Stanford University, have you ever seen their mascot? It's a tree. Am I the only one that has thought that is just weird and bizarre? Why would you want a tree as the mascot of your school and your football team? Go out there and fight like a tree. All right, young men, I want you to get out there and tackle like a tree would do. Really? Yeah, well, anyway, so they came up with the idea of an evergreen. And they said, quote, Evergreens are characterized by the life-giving force of their foliage, the strength of their massive trunk, and the depth of their roots in an individual tree and as a forest of trees. They provide shelter and sustenance. They have histories that preclude us and will continue in perpetuity after we are no more. So they were so proud of themselves, patting themselves on the back, thinking, we finally found a mascot that will not offend anyone, an evergreen tree. Until the chairman of the Portland Public School Board of Education spoke up. The chairman of the Portland Public School Board of Education. She's upset. She's offended. Why? Because, quote, a tree could conjure up reminders of hanging people with ropes from branches. It could remind people of lynching. What? She went on to say, concerning the work of the committee, I'm wondering if there was any concern with the imagery there and using a tree as our mascot. I think everyone comes with blind spots, and I think that that might have been really a big blind spot. Yeah, so, and evergreen is now offensive. You know, if you really, really, really work at it, I mean, if you really concentrate and you work really hard, I think you could be offended by anything. So the committee of students, staff, faculty, community members thought evergreens are characterized by the life-giving force of their foliage, the strength of their massive trunk, and the depths of their roots in an individual tree. And as a forest of trees, they provide shelter and sustenance. They have histories that preclude us and will continue in perpetuity after we are no more, until one whacked-out woman said, that could remind people of lynching. In an evergreen? Oh, my God. Goodness. The loony left continues to become more and more loony. Yeah. By the way, the committee considered 420 different kinds of mascots before they came up with the evergreen, and well, now that's out. Yeah.